paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game here on this Thursday. Hope everybody's had a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, that is me, here on the south side of town in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is holding the fort down in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We always enjoy our visits every Thursday at 1 o'clock with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts. Check that out, and he is on the line with us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good. We had on Sam Smith last hour, who was featured a lot. He's been covering the Bulls for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And we just had him on to talk about the documentary, episodes 1 and 2, of those great Chicago Bulls teams that were put out on Sunday night on ESPN. 3 and 4 will be this Sunday night. If I were to ask you, what documentary or 30 for 30 would you like to see in the hockey world, how would you answer that?
Boy, that's a good one. And I love That Last Dance. I'm sure you guys did too. Those first two episodes were great. You know, there was a really good one that was done on a guy who tried to buy the New York Islanders named John Spano. That was an excellent 30 for 30. That one they actually did do. It was very well done. I have to tell you that I would probably want to see one on some of the, like just the fall of like the Iron Curtain and some of those players coming over. You know, there's a Russian 5 movie that's out right now that's really well done.
Yep.
Some guys I worked with did a documentary on recruiting some players from like Alexander McGillney from Russia. Like those things are excellent. Like I think that more people need to see some of the things that people went through to get guys to come over from the former Iron Curtain. That's fantastic. I would also love to see. Like, I really do think that I think the NHL, if they could learn anything from what The Last Dance has done, is that as Crosby and Ovechkin go towards the ends of their careers, there needs to be film crews behind the scenes with those two teams to document the final years of their careers.
I don't know if
they'll ever be anything like Jordan, because you guys saw him. I don't know if there's anybody that competitive anymore like that in a team sport, but I bet you to see that the final years of those two guys' careers like that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. Maybe in these parts, we'd like to see one on Jim Bosselli and Richard Rodier. Them trying to buy the Predators. Maybe we could get one on that.
Those stories are interesting. You know, I've kept in contact here and there with Richard. He's a really bright guy. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of a debating or negotiating table from him. I don't know Bosselli as well, but yes, I could see that. You know, I'll tell you this: a Vrabel Belichick one might be good in your area too.
Yeah. We're watching the O. We've got ESPN2 on right now. They're showing the 05 NFL draft, and a young Mike Vrabel is one of the analysts as a player, and they're breaking down some of the picks, which is pretty interesting to see 15 years ago. But that's a good one too. Yeah, you've thrown out some really good ones. What else was thrown out yesterday is you said the neutral site deal is dead.
Yes,
but there seems to be a plan B.
Yeah, the plan B, it looks like it's going to be a situation where teams are going to be getting together at a certain location, maybe one per division. I think that's the hope. I think that Edmonton might be the Pacific one. I think they've got a chance. I know there's been some talk about Raleigh as the one for the Metropolitan Division. Don Waddell told one of their local reporters, he's the GM in Carolina, that there might be a concern about having their practice facility was supposed to be completed, but the COVID-19 shutdown has affected the construction. So there's less certainty there now. So they're not so sure it's going to be Raleigh. I think that Minnesota or Dallas might end up being your divisions. And I'm really not sure yet what they're going to do in the Atlantic, where Toronto, where I live, is. I think, I thought Toronto might be a site, but A, I'm not sure our government would allow it, and B, this is a pretty big city. I don't know if they're going to be able to quarantine guys easily enough or quarantine certain areas easily enough to do it. So I'm not sure what they're going to do here, but I think that is what they're looking at. And I think that's what they're going to do in terms of, if they can, they're going to have the teams play at these four or so different locales and finish out their regular seasons, hopefully, and then move on to the playoffs.
Interesting. Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, as you take all this in, was this what we're hearing now? Is that more plan A? Has that been plan A all along, rather than the North Dakotas and some of the more remote locations?
I would hesitate to say it was plan A all along. I think that one of the things we've learned is that we've got to be flexible and adaptable, because we just don't know. Like, everything sort of changes almost on a daily basis, right? So I think it's hard to know for sure if it was plan A. Like, I do think they looked at the possibility of going to some neutral sites and they spoke to some people about it. But, they just didn't have the infrastructure, whether it was arenas or hotels, that they wanted to do. And I think it became, pretty apparent that they were going to have to go to NHL cities and facilities. So I think right now, I guess you could call it now plan A as much as you can have a plan A. I just think that, one of the things that they've kind of said is that, nothing can really be etched in stone. So it's kind of like, if this is the situation, we'd like to do this. So as I'm talking to you guys at 1:09 Central Time on Thursday afternoon, I think this is what they'd like to do. But we don't know if this is what they're going to be able to do. We're still at the mercy of the virus and what the various governments and professionals allow everybody to do.
One thing we kicked around yesterday as we were reading about this, Elliot, is how different the layout is, with cities like a city like Raleigh, as opposed to,
yep,
Dallas, as opposed to Minnesota, as opposed to Edmonton, whatever city you want to throw out there, all of the layouts, having been to all these towns, proximity of where most teams stay to the rink, where is the rink located? Is it right in the smack dab in the middle of downtown, or is it out away from downtown? All of those were different. I didn't really get a connecting thread between some of the cities. So what is the criteria that the league is looking for?
I think the connecting thread is, guys, is, what does the map look like in terms of the curve, the projections, how many cases you have? For example, knock on wood, Edmonton up here, it's been one of the cities where we've had fewer cases. They're doing a lot of testing in the province of Alberta, which Edmonton is the capital of. And, Edmonton's got a brand new rink. It's beautiful. It's state of the art. They have hotels that basically are right there. Between all of that, the fact that there haven't been a lot of cases, the fact they're doing a lot of testing, the fact they have a state of the art arena, and the fact that they have hotels and everything right there, I think that whole package is, that's a good place to go if we decide that that's what we're going to do. You know, for example, another arena I haven't heard, and maybe it's not because they're not thinking about it, but I just haven't heard it, is Buffalo. Buffalo is another arena. It's got a lot of dressing rooms. It's got a hotel right next door. It's got a practice facility right next door, but it's in the state of New York. Now, it's still a long drive away from New York City, which has kind of unfortunately been the epicenter of all this. But I can see the NHL saying that the state of New York is not the right place to go now. So I think the key thing becomes, A, you know, how many cases are you looking at in your state or your area or the region that we want to go? Does it make sense to go there with what the situation is? And from there, let's look at how good is your arena? How many dressing rooms do you have? How many hotels do you have? Do you have the infrastructure for 7 or 8 teams? So I think it kind of goes in that direction.
I noticed in your last podcast, you caught up with one of our favorite people here in Terry Crisp, who I would always contend is the best storyteller that I think I've ever heard over the long term, right? More stories. You don't hear repeat stories. We think he's fantastic. So where did you go with him?
Well, there were a number of things we did. You know, I give credit for Jeff Merrick, my co-host. He's the guy who really pushed for Terry to come on. And let me just say, not that I didn't want him to come on, but, you know, Jeff really pushed for it. And, you know, it was good. Like, we talked about how, you know, the good line about Terry Crisp is that Bobby Orr is the best player ever to come out of Parry Sound, Ontario, but Terry was the first. And, you know, he kind of laughed when he was reminded about that. He liked that line. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, Bobby Orr's famous goal. Terry was playing for the St. Louis Blues at the time. And you know, Terry kind of talked about how he was supposed to be in that picture. And he was supposed to be the guy covering Bobby Orr. But he got off the ice and Bobby Orr scored, so he never got to be in the picture. And Jeff also has a book by Terry Crisp, won a couple of Stanley Cups with the Philadelphia Flyers. And the coach of that team, his name was Fred Shiro, the late Fred Shiro, Ray Shiro's father. And, you know, Fred Shiro wrote in his book that as they were wrapping up one of those cups, he was putting guys on the ice who probably didn't deserve to be out there, but he wanted them to be a part of it. And Terry was glaring at him on the bench, like, why are you putting that guy out there? And that was pretty good, I have to say. He was laughing hard at that too. But, you know, at the end we gave, you know, if you guys really think about it, you know, Terry began his hockey career almost 50 years ago. He's coming up as almost 50 years professional, or 50 years since he left junior to kind of go. And, you know, it's had an incredible career as a player, played in the NHL. He won multiple Stanley Cups. You know, he went to a Memorial Cup as a head coach. He won a Stanley Cup as a head coach, the first coach of the Lightning. And now, and, you know, he's helped introduce hockey to Nashville, him and Pete Weber. And now, Willie, you guys are all part of this broadcast team. And it's a really respected broadcast team, you know, with you guys there and you know, Brent Peterson and Lindsay and Hal Gill and now Chris Mason carrying on the tradition. And if you think of his career, I mean, it's almost 50 years now. It's pretty incredible. He's been a huge success as a player, a coach, and now a broadcaster. You know, it's a Hall of Fame career if you really think about it.
If they're not telling stories a long time from now when we're probably all gone and they don't include what you just said, Terry Crisp and Pete Weber to the fabric of hockey in this market early on, Barry Trotz and Brent Peterson deserve a ton of credit because all of us were, most of us didn't grow up with hockey. We were, you know, we chose to learn it and follow it and love it. Those guys were a big, big part of it because there were so many people in this market that enjoyed it, but, or were scared because they're like, I don't know it. I don't understand it. And so they were scared. And those guys were huge into getting people involved in learning and teaching. And it's amazing to what it's morphed into today. But Willie and I remember both because we were covering it from the get-go. And Pete Weber and Terry Crisp and Barry Trotz and Brent Peterson were a big, big part of helping this market grow.
Absolutely. 100%. I could, and, you know, like, I think that as the league has gotten bigger and it's, you know, it's, I think in a lot of ways it's gotten better. The people who opened up the doors into new markets, they deserve credit for that. You know, that, you know, somebody has to be first, right? And somebody has to, as you said, do the introductions. And they did it. And that can never be forgotten.
Elliot, a cool story that Chase has heard us tell before over the years is, what was this, year one, Willie? I don't remember the year. Was it 98 or 99? Some, I don't remember the year. They did it in the very, very early stages. They decided to do a media skate. Barry Trotz and Brent Peterson at the coaching staff, okay? And to have us media out there and to kind of put us through a workout. Well, most none of us could skate. You know, I'm on the wall. Willie's on the wall. Yeah,
picture,
we're all falling
around. Picture table hockey.
Yeah, it was it was pathetic. But there was one media member that we still to this day cannot remember who it was that was the show-off, right? The one that could just get out there and do circles around everybody and has been clearly skating their whole life. Well, because they were a show-off and they were showing off that entire practice, they ended up taking a tumble into the net, and it was a serious injury. They had to be taken off the ice. On a stretcher.
I think he broke his collarbone.
I think he broke his broke his collarbone, and that was the last time they ever did that, Elliot. Imagine that.
That was it.
Well, knowing David Paul, he's probably worried about liability.
don't believe me.
You know, the only thing I don't believe about that story is you don't remember the name of the person who did that. You're just doing a really nice job of not embarrassing. No way. You know, and you just don't want to embarrass them, and that's good on you.
Elliot,
can I tell you a similar story?
Sure.
So I started covering a lot of basketball, and the first ever general manager of the Toronto Raptors was Isaiah Thomas, who was one of the greatest basketball players ever. And he brought us once to a gym, and he was going to show us like a scouting tape. And he wanted to talk about, you know, just how, you know, some things to learn about to cover the NBA. And we were fooling around with basketballs, and I was okay. And he walked right up to me, and he says, "I want to see you shoot." And in front of one of the greatest players ever, I completely choked. I threw up an air ball. And he never let me forget it. Because, like, he came up right next to me, and he goes, "I want to see you shoot." And he had that smiling assassin smile, and he was staring right at me, and I completely choked. So I get this. The guy who fell into the net, I empathize with you.
Great story. I don't think you've told us that one before. That's good.
I don't like to admit that one too often.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, and I'm just curious. David Poile brought this up on one of the Zoom calls that he's done, one of his press conferences, that he's going to pay close attention to tonight's NFL draft to see how they handle it from a virtual standpoint in case that's what the NHL has to do. Number one, how closely are you going to pay attention to the NFL draft tonight because of that? And do you see that being a possibility whenever the NHL does have their draft?
Well, I think it's – first of all, I'll be watching tonight, like hey, guys, we need something to gamble on, right? So I'm gambling on.
Yes!
Like, I took some action before the fifth pick or after.
Some
action on that.
Did you do before or after?
I took over, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I just don't know if someone's going to be able to trade up who wants to get them, right? So, but also besides the odds – the odds are set up that the payout is better if it goes after five. I didn't put a lot of money on this one, but I'm looking at some other prop bets to do. So I love to gamble, and I need to gamble, so I'm going to be all over this draft tonight.
Elliot, we might be talking later.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, like, the other thing, too, is that I'm going to watch it because I'm a sports fan. And you know what, guys? Honestly, I hope it goes great. I really do. I know people are watching this like some people watch automobile races for the crashes. I know some people are looking at it like this. I hope it works. I think more likely than not, guys, the NHL draft is going to be like this year. that this is the kind of thing we're going to be seeing. And if you've been following the reporting this week, you know the NHL is considering doing it in June before the season ends. And I think it's much more likely than not, if not 100%, that we're going to be doing it the same way this year.
Yeah, and we've talked about those reports a lot, and I guess the big question for us is how they get the draft order, because the season won't be done yet. So I guess that's something that you're going to be paying attention to here in the coming weeks if they do, in fact, decide to keep it in June.
I think that the most likely scenario is that it's points percentage, guys. So you can figure that out pretty easily. You guys would be about the middle of the pack. I think one of the most interesting things they're going to do is how are they going to fiddle with the odds? Because, you know, if they're going to have more teams make the playoffs this year, which I think is their goal, to go over 16 if they can, you know, those teams that will be able to compete in the playoffs and be eligible for the lottery, will they change their odds? That's one of the things I'm curious about. But I think it's most likely going to be points percentage.
Interesting. Elliot, if you also want some good quotes about Terry Crisp, you should talk to Brett Hull if you want him to talk about Terry as a coach. Brett will be more than happy to open up about Crispy, and especially the days
in
Calgary.
Yes.
He won't hold back?
I'm sure he would.
Yeah, it's some pretty. I was watching it, just stumbling across it, and it was Joe Buck when he had that show. I don't remember what it was called, Undisputed or something. And it was just, you know, what we've seen Bob Costas and others do, just kind of a sit down in front of a live audience. And it was Brett Hull, and I started watching, and the next thing you know, Terry Crisp gets brought up, and then Brett Hull just start recording. And I recorded it, and I ran into Terry the next home game and downstairs, and I said, Terry, come here, I'm going to show you something. And we sat there and had a good laugh about him, Pete Weber, of course, and then just like what Willie brought up, then Terry just goes into story after story. It's unbelievable. He's just like you wind him up and you just let him go. He's never ending with stories. It's unbelievable. But Brett Hull, he did not hold back on Terry.
No, I've got to go look this up now. I'm going to have to check it out. I don't remember it. Okay.
Yeah.
Was it pro or con?
Well, he does for the goodness of, and you know, I'm glad that he did, because anybody who's been around Terry, yeah, he may have been a hard-nosed coach, you know, he may not have, but you know, if you know him now, which clearly Brett and Terry do, you know, he said, "Look, I love Terry today, but back then I hated the man. I hated him." You know, he was just talking about how Terry pushed him, you know, when he was a player early on in his career. And he said he was the meanest person he's ever come across in his entire life.
Wow.
And yeah, he just goes on and on and on. But it was pretty interesting to hear him talk about those early days and how he ended up in St. Louis. So, yeah, you want to check it out. It's pretty good. Thanks for doing this, as always.
All right, guys. Have a great week. I'll see you next week, okay?
Continue to be safe. Thanks for doing this.
You too, guys.
All right, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet. Always good to catch up with him every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Also check out 31 Thoughts. It's always a good read. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.